We're in the home stretch. We have reached that part of the Lord's Prayer that is known as the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, the benediction, perhaps. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, it's worth noting, we will be considering this part of the Lord's Prayer in detail for the next few weeks. But before doing so, it's worth noting this is the part of the Lord's Prayer that does not appear in Scripture. The earliest manuscripts of Matthew's Gospel do not include this part of the Lord's Prayer. Some later versions of Matthew do. Luke's Gospel has no versions that include this doxology. So it's pretty clear this was something added after the fact. But not too long after the fact, because by the end of the first century, there is a text known as the Teaching, which already includes this doxology as part of the Lord's Prayer. So by the end of the first century, there are some who have added this to the Lord's Prayer. So it's still pretty early. But Jesus himself probably did not teach these words. That's why there are denominations that do not say this part of the Lord's Prayer. Particularly the Roman Catholics do not say this as part of the Lord's Prayer. I remember being at a Catholic service before I was really aware of this, and you know, they said the Lord's Prayer, and so I just kept going, and everyone else stopped, you know, so it's like prayer whiplash, you know, don't stop. Mostly it's Protestants who say this part of the Lord's Prayer. It's worth noting the Roman Catholic Church does include this as part of the Mass, just not part of the Lord's Prayer. But having said all that, this is an appropriate way to end the Lord's Prayer. When we started considering the Lord's Prayer, I was talking about the address at the beginning, Our Father, who art in heaven. You would begin any letter, dear so-and-so. So it's, I think it's appropriate to have a closing for this prayer. To me, to end the prayer as it is in Scripture, with deliver us from evil, the end, seems a little abrupt. So this is an appropriate closing for this prayer. Appropriate. I mean, if you're writing a letter to a business associate and you end it, love and kisses, XXOO, they probably might wonder about continuing to do business with you. But on the other hand, if you're writing a letter to your mother and you end it, respectfully yours, your mother might call you quickly to make sure everything was okay. This is an appropriate way to end this prayer because the doxology, the closing of this prayer, doesn't really add anything new, but it reminds us who God is and our relationship to God. It sort of sums up what has gone before. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so I want to consider this morning the first piece of this doxology. Thine is the kingdom. Yours, God, is the kingdom. Now we've heard the word kingdom before in this prayer. It begins, thy kingdom come. And it's also worth noting that this doxology, many scholars believe, draws upon the passage that Rodney just read for us from 1 Chronicles. Did you notice David, in talking to God in this moment, says, yours, Lord, is the glory and the splendor and the majesty. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. What does it mean to say to God, yours, thine is the kingdom? As I mentioned earlier about thy kingdom come, anytime we start to talk about God's kingdom, we've entered the realm of politics. What we say when we say to God, your kingdom come, or thine is the kingdom, we are saying to God, everything that exists, everything that you have made everything in this entire universe, from the farthest galaxy to my little finger, is yours, God. It's all under your authority. And you, God, are the final authority for us who claim to be your children, subjects of your kingdom. Your kingdom, God, not ours. And when we say that, we are thus downplaying every other earthly kingdom, country, power, authority. Now that's kind of dangerous stuff. As Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon, in their book on the Lord's Prayer, comment, anytime the congregation prays, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," the people in City Hall should get nervous. And I would suggest not just City Hall, no offense, Ron, but Raleigh and Washington, D.C., and even the Vatican or Louisville or anywhere where there are people who claim authority. This is radical stuff to claim, that every earthly kingdom, power, country is temporary and fleeting and secondary when it comes to God's kingdom. That the final authority is God's. And this is dangerous to say. It certainly can be troublesome. It's interesting that in the news this week, there's a woman, a county clerk in Kentucky, who's in some serious problems, trouble, because she has said, "The final authority for me is God." Now, you might disagree with her reasoning or some of the other issues involved, but she is essentially saying what we say in the Lord's Prayer every time we pray it: "Thine is the kingdom." I think it's also worth noting that this statement has been used across the spectrum, both politically and theologically. It's the same idea which prompted many in the civil rights movement to act and go to jail. What's interesting is acknowledging God's authority can get you into trouble across the board. It can be used to resist change in the same way it can be used to promote change. It's dangerous stuff. Thine is the kingdom. I think it's also worth noting another rather profound implication of this phrase. And David talks about this in 1 Chronicles. By saying, "Yours is the kingdom," David then goes on to say, which means, God, everything we have and think we own is yours. Everything we possess, our money, our possessions, our time, our talents, every single thing that we so often claim is ours is really God's. It's only ours because God is loaning it to us temporarily. Now, this has implications for, and I know Gary's ears are perking up, stewardship. This is a stewardship proclamation. God's is the kingdom. Everything that we have is God's. And so then the question becomes, what will we do with it? What will we do, not just with our financial resources, what will we do with our possessions? What will we do with our talents that God has given us? What will we do with the time that we are blessed with, this fleeting moment on earth? If it's all God's and God's is the kingdom, that might change the way we begin to think about how we spend and use and get involved, and what we get involved with. Because it's all a way of giving back some small portion to the God who gave it all to us originally. Thine is the kingdom. It's all God's, and we fall under that umbrella. Now, that is good news. I think particularly as we enter into an election season, it's always good to acknowledge the true ruler, regardless of how any election plays out. Fortunately, the world is ultimately in God's hands. Whew. But there are profound implications for each of us every single day, the decisions we make. This little phrase, thine is the kingdom, offers a profound and perhaps new perspective on life itself. I invite you to live with this simple little phrase this week, thine is the kingdom, and consider how it might impact what you say and do this week. Hopefully, it will begin to change our perspective. And even more importantly, for some of us, it may begin to change our behavior. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Amen.